Buddy. You know, one of the main things that happens after camp, counselors and other non-campers always complain that they don't get to participate in drumline. That's when they're telling me that I didn't use enough buckets or I didn't use enough guardrail. But how would you guys like to have the biggest drum circle in WOD camp history right here tonight? All right. How many of you guys like mac and cheese? How many of you like peanut butter sandwich? Amy, you remember this? You were with me for this before. So what we're going to do, this side, you're going to clap like this. You're going to go mac and cheese, rest, rest. Mac and cheese, rest, rest. Now, guys, this side, you're going to do peanut butter sandwich. And you might have to hit your legs for this, unless you're a good clapper, right? You have to go rest, 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 rest. Wait, please come help me. Whitney, come on. Amy, come help me. Come on. You're going to go over there and you're going to be mac and cheese. All right? We're going to try this. It's going to sound like mac and cheese. Peanut butter sandwich. Mac and cheese. Peanut butter sandwich. You follow me? Come on, don't let me down, peanut butter. Yeah, sure. Sure. Wherever that is. Okay. So, I'm not a game show host. I'm not used to holding one of these things. I'm a musician. You guys ready to rock this thing? One, two, three, four. Mac. That was pretty cool. Now I don't want anybody complaining that they don't get to be in drumline. Now, you want to switch it up?
You guys be mac and cheese. You guys be peanut butter sandwich. Sorry, Danny. Thank you. All right. Everybody over there? Yes.
One, two, three, four. I don't know. That might be the biggest drum circle in the history of Berkeley Springs. So good evening. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Lisa asked me if I would speak tonight, and I said, "Holy crap." And she said, "What?" And I said, "Holy crap." And my mind immediately started racing. My mind went everywhere. Because, you know, I like to open up camp if I have the opportunity with something light, something uplifting, something fun, something that motivates us. You follow me? But you know what the Lord gave me? Something heavy, man. And I was like, "Lord, dude, man. You know how we always have these cool, funny things between you and me? You give me a good illustration, and people are like, 'Oh, my goodness.' And I'm like, 'It's you. It's Lord. It's you. That's what I want, God.' And the more I asked him for something like that, the heavier it got. that's okay. We're going to get through it. But I want to talk tonight about hopelessness. How many of you all watched 13 Reasons Why the last year? Me too. Some heavy stuff, right? Heavy stuff. So last week I was in my truck and I'm driving around. And I was listening to Whitney Houston. I know, it doesn't sound like somebody like me would be listening to Whitney Houston. But did you ever? She did a movie called The Preacher's Wife. And that soundtrack is flame, dude. Pure flame. And I listen to that every once in a while because the bass playing on it is smashing. And I love that bass player, so I listen to that soundtrack rather real often. So I'm listening to Whitney Houston, and she's singing. I go to the rock, and she's singing, I love the Lord. And I just, I'm listening to her worship, and my eyes just filled with tears. And I'm just thinking, how could somebody with a voice like that, with a celebrity like that, die so young? And I started looking into the circumstances of her death. See, I always thought she committed suicide. We can be grown-ups and talk about grown-up things, right? I thought she committed suicide, but the official coroner's report said she drowned after ingesting a large amount of cocaine in the bathtub. Listen, if there's warning on things, you know, they tell you not to put your toaster in the bathtub. They tell you not to put your hairdryer in the bathtub. You probably shouldn't do any substance in or near anywhere, but especially in the bathtub. Right? And so they never said she committed suicide, but I kind of always operated under the assumption, right or wrong, that she committed suicide. And I was just heartbroken because here I am listening to this soundtrack 15, 18, 20 years after she recorded it, and I feel Jesus in her words and in her music so clear. I don't know. It's like she was like, hey, Heavenly Father, my brother needs you right now. You know what I mean? It was the kind of song and the kind of worship that just pulls the Lord in your presence. And I think, how can this woman, who by all accounts has everything, right? She's got money. She's got celebrity. She was married to Bobby Brown, and that was her prerogative. You might have to be old to get that way. Yeah. I can do what I want to do. Yeah. Ah. But she had everything. She had movies. She had, but it didn't matter. She didn't have what she evidently needed. She had a sense of hopelessness. And again, I'm sorry for talking about something heavy like suicide, but you know what? Even if you've never felt like this before, you might know somebody who has. And maybe you feel like this. And if you do, I'm hoping to give you some tools to deal with it tonight. You follow me? Just last week or 2 weeks ago, Kate Spade. If you want to pay that much money for a purse, God bless you. I wouldn't. Well, I wouldn't carry a purse, but that's a whole other story. No matter what Remington says. Anthony Bourdain, one of my favorite travel chefs, committed suicide 2 weeks ago. How many of you guys like Linkin Park? Chester Bennington last year, right? How about Audioslave and Chris Cornell? That's from my time. Chris Cornell was he was a voice of the ages, a lot like Whitney to me. And I don't know why all of these people who seemingly have everything and their life as if they have nothing. Right? There's hopelessness. We say there's an epidemic of drug use. We say there's an epidemic of all this stuff. And there is. It's terrible. It's awful. But what it all boils down to is hopelessness. Right? Because when you don't have that hope, you're looking for that hope. You're trying to find that hope. And, you know, I think back on my own life, and I think about times I felt hopeless. And there were certainly times I felt like I felt hopeless. I don't know if I ever felt hopeless enough to do something drastic like in my life. cards on the table, being real, right? But I felt pretty hopeless before. I felt really low. I've had relationships end badly. I've made stupid mistakes that I was so ashamed of. I didn't want anybody to know, not just my parents, but least of all my parents. Right? And I think of times when I've seen somebody from my past. Now, you guys might be a little young to go for a while without seeing people for a period of years. But as you get older, the people who are like your BFFs, crap's going to happen, and you're going to end up going separate ways, and it's going to suck. But it's going to be okay. You know what I'm saying? But you're going to have people who come out of your life and then come back into your life at another time. And if you've had a negative experience with those people in the past, do you know what seeing them is going to do? It's going to take you right back to that situation. It's going to take you right back to those feelings you felt. It's going to take you to a place you've worked so hard to get away from. I know when I see people from my past, then I see them, and then I get mad, and then I want to punch them, then I want to run over them with my truck, and then I think, oh, yeah, there's some people in my life, if I'm being honest with you, I'm not a real, I love the Lord, but I have some anger issues, you know what I'm saying? There's some people in my past who, if they were on fire, I'm not sure I'd spit on them. Well, anybody have anybody like that in your life? Don't raise your hands. Keep your hands down. This makes me very angry. Why? Because I've allowed people to take up residence in my head. I've allowed situations that don't really even apply to me anymore control my behavior. You follow me? There's people I've seen, I can see. 4 or 5 years ago, my grandmother passed away, and just as she wanted in her funeral, people lined up out the church to come pay their respects. She would have loved her funeral. But there were people who come in, who I saw them, and I was ready to stab them in the throat. My sister had my back. Oh, that's my girl. She always got my back. And I saw them, and I'm like, you know, I don't want you in my head anymore.
Yes. That's right.
I want to grieve for my grandmother. I want to live in the moment. I don't want to live in the past. But I saw them and I realized in the moment just what I was carrying. What I was carrying, a piece of them. You hear me? And it was upsetting to me because they had power over me. They had power to change my mood. They had power to transport me to another time. They were like a time machine, dude. Right? They had power to make me act not like me. Huh. I guess you could say I have some baggage. Anybody ever heard that term? Yo, he or she is a nice dude, but they got some baggage. You know, their mom's crazy, or their dad's an alcoholic. You know, you never know what you're going to get. You know what I'm saying? Baggage. Along with hopelessness, baggage was another word the Lord placed on my heart when Pastor Lisa talked to me. So listen, if the Lord puts a word on your heart, even if you can't find it in the word, keep looking until you find it. There's a reason it's on your heart. There's a reason he's putting it in your heart to research it. It might not even be for you. It might be for a friend who's hopeless. It might be for a friend who just needs encouragement. But always listen to that voice in your heart. That's the Holy Spirit telling you things. So I knew I had this baggage, right? I knew if I ever saw this person. Unless Jesus really was like flexing his muscles and holding me back. Something was going to go down. It was going to be redneck fantastic. Weapons, trucks. I don't care. You heard me, I heard you, right? So I'm very, in that moment, I'm still very angry because I'm still thinking about my grandmother who just passed away. And then I'm like, these jerks want to come here and dredge up my past in a very terrible time. But here's what I wanted to do at the end of that. I wanted those jerks not to be powerful in my life anymore. You hear what I'm saying? Who gave them power? Who gave them room in my head? They probably don't even know how much they hurt me. They probably don't even know how much power they have over my mood. So I know what I got to do. I got to let it go. Matthew 2:11 in the Message. Let me set this up here. The scripture we're going to look at is when the wise men have finally arrived in Bethlehem and they come to the child and Mary and Joseph and I'm guessing everybody else, right? Shepherds and angels and everybody was up in there. You have that for me, Crystal? Matthew 2:11 in the Message. Ah, here we go. Okay, so, I don't want to block anybody. They entered the house and saw the child in the arms of Mary, his mother. Overcome, they kneeled and worshipped him. And then they opened their luggage. Luggage, see? Baggage isn't in there, but luggage is. Get a thesaurus, whatever that word is. And presented gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Yeah. Yeah. Now, do you see what's happening here? You guys know what overcome means? Let me say, somebody would be overcome with grief. You know, somebody who's lost somebody. I know it's heavy. I don't mean to talk about stuff like that. But how about, what's a positive thing? Overcome with?
Joy.
Hey, thank you. Oh, man. Keep your pastors close. They'll help you. Overcome with joy. You ever seen anybody overcome with joy? Like Christmas morning, something like that? Yeah, yay. Yeah. Speaking of Christmas, I was thinking on the way here. Camp is like one of my top three favorite weeks of the year. And it's right up there with Christmas and deer season. Oh, yeah, that's how much I love this stuff, man. I love hanging out with you guys as much as I love being by myself in the middle of nowhere. Think about that one. So, in every pirate movie you've ever watched, what is the actual treasure they're looking for? What's one of these gifts here? Think about this for a second. Look what the wise man does. He puts himself in the presence of the Lord. Right there? The wise man puts himself in the presence of the Lord, and he allows himself to be overcome. What happens next? He kneels and he worships. Then he opened his baggage and presented his treasure. Why would I keep all of these thoughts that are so very powerful and so very emotional, whether positive or negative? I think in some convoluted way, I treasure them. Maybe it's because what happened was so awful or so painful or just so, I can't explain. You ever have something so bad happen, you just go, maybe that's what happened, and I kept it as a treasure to make sure it never happened again. But what happens when I keep finding that treasure? See, and something I kept to protect myself and to save myself, I in turn gave myself a lot more grief. I in turn gave myself a lot more garbage to deal with. Right? Because I'm trying to protect myself. Listen, why do you think you should give him up? Well, Let me read you this next one. Matthew 6, 19 in the NIV. Everybody following me? It's heavy, but we're there, right? We're not overcome with grief. We're not overcome with heaviness. We're about to be overcome with joy. All right, look at this. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Next verse, please. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Next verse. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So study note. Anytime you see something in the scripture that talks about the earth, usually the earth doesn't mean Mother Earth that we're standing on and hopefully taking care of. It means this earthen vessel. Okay, so study tip. Earth means me usually, right? And if you see something about the heavens, it's not necessarily a place far away. It's a place spiritually. You follow me? We're going to talk in spiritual terms. We have to be in a spiritual place to be able to have to do that. You follow me? See, these baggage, we carry these things, and we're guarding them closely. I know I guard those things closely in my life. Whereas the dictionary would say, we might consider them lost or forgotten until we rediscover them. That's what a treasure, an actual definition of a treasure. Something that was lost or forgotten until it's rediscovered. So if you're holding all this negativity, you're holding all these bad situations, bad relationships, I don't know. I'm going to show you some examples of it because I want you to see a metaphor of what's happening here. What's happening here. But we consider them lost or forgotten. That's what the definition of a treasure is. Right? So if somebody knew where it was, it'd be in the bank. It wouldn't be a treasure. It'd be a chest. I know I need to get rid of this stuff, right? I've figured out what it is. I've figured out it makes me mad. I've figured out it has power over me. And I've also figured out it shouldn't have any power over me. But I'm holding that up because what if I see those people again? I want to be angry enough to clobber them and get revenge. Oh, everybody's spiritual. Nobody ever wants revenge. Right. Okay, buddy. Listen. Can we go back to the other one, Crystal, please? Matthew 2:11. First off, if you want to overcome things in your life, whether it's grades, whether it's jerks you have to deal with at work or school, put yourself in the presence of the Lord. That's your first step to overcoming challenges in life. Now, listen, after they get there, they're overcome with the Lord, and they kneeled and worshiped him. Now, I don't like kneeling. I know, shocking, right? Here's why I don't like kneeling. From a strategic standpoint, if you're kneeling, if this is my master, this speaker's my master. Oh, wait, maybe not. Let's pretend it. And I kneel to this dude. And if I'm supposed to be in a position of complete penitence and complete remorse, kneeled, when I'm in that position, where am I vulnerable? Everywhere. Right? Okay, from down here, I can only see the floor. I can't see what's happening behind me. I can barely, only in my peripheral vision, see what's happening on the side of me. And I really don't see anything that's happening in front of me. And also, all of my mechanisms for defense are down underneath me. Right? It's one of the most vulnerable things you can do to yourself. But when I'm kneeling before the King, I don't have to worry about what's at my back. I don't have to worry about what's at my front. Because you stay right there like that. If you're kneeling to me and I'm your King, and you're in this place of vulnerability and you can't see anything and you can't defend yourself, you don't know what's coming at you. But guess what? I see everything over you. See, putting myself in a position of vulnerability, putting myself in a position of weakness, puts my Savior in a position of even more strength. Why? Because I've given it to him freely. No matter what, even if I'm in that position, as rough as it may be, Father always has my back. He just isn't going to leave me there. Now I have something I want to show you. Who feels like they are a strong man? I know CJ's in that picture back there with the big old barbells. Yeah, that's my homie. Well, I got something here. And how many of you brought something with you today that might have looked like this? Oh, jeez. I ain't joking. I'm not a good actor like Daniel. I'm only an entertainer if I'm holding an instrument. Other than that, what you see is what you get. But what is this? It's a suitcase, right? Luggage, baggage. Pretty beat up. I'm not joking. Zach, come here. Come tell me how heavy this is. Serious. Don't get yourself a hernia, though. Okay, tough guy. All right. So I'm not joking, right? This isn't a gimmick. There's something pretty heavy in there. Look at this here. What's this heavy load doing to my baggage?
It's ripping it to pieces.
It's ripping it to pieces. Wow. You hear that? This heavy baggage that I brought with me is not only a giant pain to move around and carry me, it's literally ripping my bag to pieces. Let me show you what I got in here. You all see that? Abuse? Look, what does a wise man do? He puts himself in the presence of the Lord. He allows himself to be overcome. He kneels, he worships, and he unloads his baggage. Oops. Oh, literally, it says oops. Bad relationships. Whatever you got. Now, I'm going to show you my baggage. Because I've kind of explained it to you tonight, right? People lying about me. And when I wasn't, Zach, I ain't joking, right? Dude, this is heavy, right? All right, I'm going to put this down. You see what that says? I ain't lifting it up. It says accusations and lies. People are going to talk. That's what they do. It's up to you to know who you are. It's up to you to realize these things are temporary. It's taken me a long time, longer than most of you have been alive, to acknowledge I even had some of this baggage. It's a process. But man, Zach, come here, check out my suitcase now, dude. What do you think? Wow. Do you think if I carry it around like this, it's going to keep disintegrating?
No.
Probably not. Maybe it will, but at a much slower rate. Right? You're carrying 500 pounds of unnecessary crap on your back. Something's going to give.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you, you need to be the one to give it. Give it up.
Right.
You following me? And then eventually, you're going to tell the story of how something tore you up, how something had control over your life, how something managed everything about you in ways you wished it never would. But you're going to have a song of victory. Why? Because you know how to get rid of it. How do we get rid of it? We put ourselves in the presence of the Lord. Guess what? We got that part done. They kneeled and worshiped him. This is my precious treasure. This is my big chunk of gold that I'm giving the Father tonight. These lies and these accusations that people spoke over me. Well, I don't have to worry about them anymore. It's not my problem. Listen, if any of you have some stuff you want to unload, I'm here to help you. We're all here to help you. There's no need for you to break yourself carrying this unnecessary crap around with you. Here's a place where we can unload it. You following me? If you're not ready to give it up tonight, come up here and do that. That's cool. You know, I've never even given an altar call in all my life. You believe that? Believe it, dude. Believe it. Believe it. If you're not ready, because you know what? I'm a stubborn dude. I think I know better than everybody else. It's a curse. It comes along with being an engineer. But here. Here's the thing. I'm giving you the formula. Find a time of worship that works for you. Find something that suits for you. You know, like, I play drums, right? And when I was a kid, I wanted to play drums or something. And I was like, Mom and Dad, I need some music to play to. And they were like, okay. And I'm not trying to make fun of my mom and dad. I love them with all my heart, but they did not have good taste in music. You know what they gave me? Alvin and the Chipmunks Christmas album. Which is a bad record, dude. That is amazing. And some Jimmy Swaggart organ music. If you don't know who Jimmy Swaggart is, you're not missing nothing. But needless to say, it wasn't my thing. It wasn't something that ushered me into the presence of the Lord. It was something that ushered me into the record store. That's where we used to buy music before we had phones. But I found my place of worship. It wasn't different from anyone else's. It just had better music. Mostly because I was playing it in my head, right? This is how a lot of times how I worship when I'm on my own and one-on-one. I think of a song, and I think of how bad I hate it. And I think, what could I do to make it better? Well, we can add a better drum part. You know, I don't really like the scale they're playing in here. Maybe I could introduce a scale. And in my head, I completely go through and rearrange the song. And I feel like I spend so much time with the Lord doing that. Listen, when you're in your time of worship, be open to being overcome. Right? It's like your parents being married, but only ever being boyfriend and girlfriend. Right? Like, I want to love the Lord and I want a relationship with him, but I'm not quite sure I want to go that far yet. I get that. I get that. I see some people go places in the Lord, and I think, I'm still not ready to go that far. Woo! Help us, Father. Find your happy place. Be open to being overcome. When you are overcome, it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to talk about the things that upset you the most. It's okay to talk about the people who hurt you the worst. Why? Because no matter what, the Father has your back. When you're in your place of your weakest, literally your most weakest position, your Father is standing over you. Oh, my God. Your Father is standing over you. You have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to fear. Because your Father has your back. If you want to give him gifts to the Father tonight, these altars are open. If you don't, well, you're the one who has to carry it, not me, right? I ain't the one with the big tumor on my back. No, I just unloaded it. If you want to do it, you're welcome to. Jackson, will you come up? Sing something. Can you unload your baggage after you sing?
You said I could do it on my time.
You know, if you're feeling hopeless, it's the bridge. The bridge is always Jesus, like I was going to tell you. I can tell you this formula, and I can show you the door. But guess who has to walk through it? You follow me?
come however you want, however you want. Thank you.
another prayer song, and I just want you to focus on where you are. If you feel like this, there's just some things, you know, Lord, I just don't want to take this back home with me. I just want to dump it here. I want to leave it here. I want to learn some things because I want my week to be fulfilled with power and anointing. I want things to change.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Moses preached for how many years before the flood? Like 800 or something? It was a long
Noah?
Time. Yeah, Noah. Noah, sorry, Noah. But Noah preached for a really long time about the flood coming. And he said, you know, save yourselves, come get in the ark. And the thing that didn't, you know, that God wanted, God gave them all the opportunity to get in the ark. But none of them believed the message. And so when the floods came, the ark was sealed up and they perished. Now, it wasn't for the lack of the provision. It was for the lack of obedience to listen to the voice of the Spirit, the voice of God that said, hey, there's a flood coming, get in this boat and you'll be saved. So the only thing holding us back, and I love what Clint said tonight, the only thing holding us back from ever being saved or ever getting our baggage gone is our belief. Our belief that God wants to get us in the boat called Christ and relieve us of all the waters that are coming so that we can take a cruise ship, get to look at the beautiful rain coming down from the comfort of a boat that we know we're safe in with some amazing, beautiful animals and beautiful creation. And if you know how Clint said, you know, when you look about the earth, it's all spiritual. It's all. So when you think about it, God being, you know, the vessel and he's the ark and we're getting in him. But you also think about this. Where does God reside? God resides in you. But we also always say things like God lives in heaven. So if God lives in heaven, does he live in heaven or does he live in me? Or are they both? Or is it, yes, he lives in heaven inside of me. You're the place where God chooses to dwell. He sees you and he calls you heaven. Think about that. Think about God in a field of flowers and he goes, man, this is heaven. You ever been in a place where you ever went on vacation and you thought, this is heaven. I must have went to heaven. Remember when you were a kid, you're like, we just went to heaven. That's how God feels when he gets inside of you. Man, I just got to heaven. That ought to make you feel really, really good about yourself.
Tonight. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Praise Band. Thank you, Clint, for getting us started and many more exciting things to come. Amen. Set your heart to receive everything that you can receive this week. We're going to get ready in just a few minutes to go to our dorms. You can change into some volleyball clothes if you want to, change your shoes, grab your flashlight if you have one.